faggots, Michael.
I love you.
I know.
I can go slow ahead. Come on down and chum some of this shit.
What?
Oh, just some scary movie.
You like scary movies?
Uh-huh.
The hell is this?
This is for Brody.
What?
Wait, stop! We came, we saw, we kicked its ass!
Beetlejuice.
It's showtime.
So alive.
We're live. Hi, everyone, and welcome to an impromptu Nerdy Up North podcast. It's a nerdy podcast and is hosted by Northern Nerds. I am one of your hosts, Sam.
And I am the other host, Paul. And we are joined by the delectable daddy himself, the beautiful, the manliest man of them all, with the most...
Manliest
man of them all, with the beard that is just taken over his face completely, and now he is a wearer of caps. He is the cap of the podcast, the Daddy Discord, Hobo Lee, the guy with the length. Can we say that at 2 o'clock in the afternoon?
That might have to be saved for an older. Oh my god, I can't even talk today. These 2 o'clock malarkey's throwing us right off.
So yes, we are joined by the lovely Lee.
Lee.
Yeah. Hi, Paul. Just Hi, Lee. Sammy.
Hi, Lee.
Our intro gets longer each week.
Almost like your dick, but yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you guys for tuning in. We're not expecting loads of views straight away because this is going to be a spoiler episode. Ah, of course.
Spoiler alert!
Spoilers. So just before we do get started and get into it, if you haven't watched Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, we are going to be throwing out spoilers. We are going to be talking about the movie in depth, well, as in depth as we can, because we're going to be on again tonight, so it's not going to be a 3-hour podcast. I'm not going to allow that. We are going to tell about key characters, key points, things we liked, things we didn't like. But yes, so if you haven't seen the movie, this is your final warning. Turn away now, or forever have the movie spoiled.
Bye.
Bye, nerds. So,
bye.
Yes. Yes. So, Sammy, do you want to do your disclaimer?
Best, yeah. Well, everything discussed in today's episode is our opinions and our opinions alone. If you'd like to discuss anything from today's episode, please come and join us in the comments section, the Facebook, or the Discord, where we can have an open discussion. But what we won't have is anyone coming for us and telling us our opinions are wrong. We can all agree to disagree in fandom. So let's keep it fun, keep it kind, and keep the toxic behaviour out of nerdism.
Thank you very much. And I thought quite apt that we got the disclaimer out quite early, because I just want to do, not a disclaimer for myself, but just to say it, like, a lot of the fandom communities, not the Nerdy Up North community, thank you, like, you guys have been great, but I've been reading a lot of shit on the internet, and a lot of fandoms have showed themselves up over the last few days. And again, This is me being serious and being disappointing them as well. The amount of gatekeeping and bullshit I have seen over this Ghostbusters Frozen Empire movie online is fucking embarrassing. And anyone who's been like that, you should be fucking ashamed of yourselves. And yes, I do mean it, because this is where I am proud of what we do at Nerdy Up North and on the Nerdy North community and the Facebook page. Everyone's embracing, everyone's allowed their own opinion. The amount of people that's been shouted down, screamed at that they're wrong for saying they like this movie, for saying they dislike this movie, for having an opinion on it, it brings out the worst in like fandoms. And this is why we do what we do, just to show that you don't have to be like that. So can I just say, go fuck yourselves, please.
You gotta do that. When you say that, you go... Mm-hmm. Yeah, literally go fuck yourselves. I agree. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure Lee agrees, and everyone else in the Nerdy Up North community, we don't do gatekeeping. Mm-hmm. Everyone has an opinion, and the greatest conversations come out of them opinions. This is what it was all started for, is to have great conversations about fandoms.
Mm-hmm. But yes, so I saw the movie yesterday.
I think we all saw it the same day, at the same time, three different locations.
I think I was an hour early, sorry.
Oh, you ruined it. Oh, look at him. Well, me and Lee were the same time, different locations.
Yes.
Yeah. Obviously, I went to the best place because...
I know, this, you dickhead.
You motherfucker. Frozen
Empire badge.
I don't know why they give you out the next thing, because them were supposed to be opening day exclusives as well.
I think the 12 o'clock showing might have been the first one of yesterday, so there might have still been some left over from the previous day.
Well, my cinema had absolutely fuck all, apart from this green, slimy drink thing that Anth got, and it was vile.
Yes.
I've heard a few complaints about that.
It was horrible. I was good. I'll have some of that Slimer juice, please. And it literally tasted like citrus lime and Monster mixed up with like slushy. And I know some people are like, oh, that sounds nice. No. It really, really wasn't.
People drink Monster. It's just.
Oh, talking about our drinks for our friendly Hampley sponsors. That is Iron Brew. So yes, we love Iron Brew on the Nerdy Up podcast. We always drink an Iron Brew, and we have to keep it going. So yes, Iron Brew.
Does somebody want to fill me in with the Iron Brew malarkey?
Nope.
I'll go and buy some.
We all have to drink Iron Brew. It's the law now.
Okay, I can do that.
But yes, so I saw it like an hour earlier. I was at the Bolden Cinema, you at Dalton Park, and Lee was at the Metro Centre at the posh seats.
Us peasants in the back.
Yes. My cinema was quite empty as well, so I was a bit surprised that I was expecting it to be packed and sold out. But apparently when Donna went on last night, that there was only two or three seats left, so it must be like the later season or the latest sessions or the later screenings did a little bit better. But yes, we had a really shitty looking Ghostbuster car outside. I'll be honest, it was a hearse that was painted into a Ghostbuster car, and I was like, oh
no.
They tried, but it wasn't quite Ecto One. Yeah.
Do you know what we had?
What?
We had a cardboard picture of the Ghostbusters sign that had been hand drawn, stuck on the door of the cinema where we were going. That's what we had. But there was, oh bless, there was this lovely sweet woman. She'd we just sat down and she went, oh, that drink, mind you, that'll kick you in the teeth when you drink it for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, well, thank you for the warning. She was like, and then she noticed me jumper, mm-hmm. and she started talking about me jumper, and then she was telling us how like they had kids that get huge Ghostbusters fans, and they were like waving their plushies at us, and then there were literally, she was talking about the front door and how she was having photographs taken outside the front door and that, and then I was like, oh, you're so sweet. You're so sweet. And then Paul Anth was like, do you know her? And I was like, No.
But we've just come best friends due to the joys because busting makes you feel good.
Makes you feel good. I even had me creature bag, and she went, oh my god, is that a Slimer bag too? And I was like, no.
Oh, bless her. At least she tried. She tried.
I chickened out at the Metro Centre because they had the Northeast Ghostbusters there.
Yeah, nice guys.
I don't know. Is that who was on at the Northeast Comic Con?
Yeah, anytime you see the Northeast at GB Ghostbusters, that's them. They're really nice guys.
And I was like trying to take a photo of them, and Bex was going, oh, go and get your photo taken with them. But there was loads of kids like getting their photos
and
taken
just
with them.
Leave.
Surrounded by children. And I was like, I can't go and, like, wait with all the kids.
Oh, Lee, you'll be knee good at Disneyland when you see all the kids going up getting cuddles off, like, Sully and stuff. You just got to push them out the way.
It's like... I've done that. No, I haven't pushed the kids out the way, but I have been to Disneyland.
It's like, no. But, yes. So, initial thoughts on the movie before we go into depth, like, into it. Did you enjoy it? So, Lee, we'll let you go first, because I know Sammy's going to burst.
I loved it.
You loved it.
Yeah, it wasn't the best of the Ghostbusters franchises, because I think the first one is the best.
Mm-hmm. You can't top the first one, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't see why anyone's given it any shit at all. It was an amazing film. It had heartfelt moments in. It built upon the lore. And it gave us a lot to work with for the future as well.
No. Right, end the podcast, because he's just said it absolutely perfectly right there. You really did.
Well, views.
choices.
Choices. So, Sammy, what do you feel?
I loved it.
You loved it?
I absolutely loved it. I love the fact that now GB2 is is confirmed as canon. So can't get out of it now. The fandom can't get out of it. GB2 is canon. I love the fact that we was like just straight in it. No explanations. I mean, we'll get into that in a second, but I loved it from start to finish. Don't get it wrong. When I go to the cinema, if I am in pain because I need to go for a wee, I will not go. I had no choice during this. And it was, I felt like we were in a bit of a lull moment. So I was like, I feel I can go now. So I did miss this tiny, tiny little segment, and I never normally do that. But there were some lully moments, but it built up as it went on.
Yeah.
But overall, I fucking loved it.
Great. The way I would put it, I smiled all the way through this movie.
Oh, good.
So again, I know we don't trash things or anything. I do have a few thoughts and opinions on the film, which we will get into when we go through. Because a lot of the stuff I'm going to be saying might sound negative, but it's not. It's more like missed opportunities of what this has had, every element or everything included in the film for it to be a barnstorming classic. Like, it could have even went past Ghostbusters 1. With the level and things it had the opportunity to do, but it didn't show any restraint. It kind of went for the approach of having everything in the kitchen sink in it, rather, but not the stuff I wanted, if that makes sense. That could have been, like, as a film by itself, I enjoyed it. It was a good film. But when you watch it back, and I think if you watch it back on multiple views, you'll see it. Shit, this could have been brilliant. This could have been something that changed things.
There is a couple of plot holes that that we can discuss as we go along, and maybe it's something I've missed, or maybe you feel exactly the same way, but we'll go through it as we go through the movie.
So Sammy, as you said, the start was thrown thrown in interestingly. I liked the whole going back in time, seeing the firehouse. Like,
oh, I love that.
And seeing the Adventure Society. That was really interesting.
Such a good set as well, wasn't it? Like, in the costumes in it and the way that it looked. This whole film looked like you could literally stick animation over the top of it. It was just the real Ghostbusters, like, all the way through, which I thought was a perfect homage to it. I love the opening scene, the opening explanation, and it was so small and not. And this is what I've loved about this whole movie. We're in a position now with Ghostbusters where if you don't know, you don't know. It's as simple as that. You've got three other movies to go back over and watch, and there was just no explanations whatsoever, and I love that about this.
What about you, Lee? How did you feel about the opening, like going back in time, seeing actual firemen in the firehouse?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I wasn't too bothered about the firemen. It's more like, again, like building up on the lore, which I mentioned before, which is the firemaster lady
introduction.
And it's like there was technically Ghostbusters back then.
Yep.
It's like that's building up on even more, and like,
no, come on.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've got to catch up.
That's all I can really say about that.
That's all I can say about that now.
No, it was good, and it kind of like showed you like the risks or like what was going to be happening as well. As soon as they touched the door and said, "Oh, it expected to be hot," and it was like it's freezing, and then his hands start freezing, like, "Oh shit!" And when you went in that room, it was pure horror movie. It wasn't a kid's movie at this point. When you see the speaker going round and the guy's hand detached, and it's like detached and it's going round, that looked fucking vile. And then they're just like, they don't overact it. They don't over-egg, like freak out. They're just like kind of walking around the room, and you're kind of like experiencing it like they did as well. So it was kind of like, you don't know what kind of went on, but you know something bad had happened. And then you see, as you said, the guy, the woman in the, like, say, the outfit with the orb, and you thought, ooh, something. And then it kicks back to modern day, and we see, the Spenglers.
The Spenglers
doing what Spenglers do, is just destroy Manhattan.
I loved this opening scene so much. Again, no explanation. There's no, we don't have to know why they are there. They are just there as Ghostbusters, as a family pack Ghostbusters. And I fucking love that opening scene so much.
No, definitely. The family
Not even
dynamic,
the
I was,
audience.
yeah, the family
Like,
dynamic. Sorry.
oh, sorry, I was wanting to say, like, not even just the audience is like getting no explanation. It's like, it's not even explaining about the people that are also in the traffic having to be explained. It was just like they know what's going on, and it's established by the police officers sitting in the car, like, should we call this in? Nah, these guys have got it.
It's like it's already established. We're just along there for the ride, and I was fucking living in that moment, especially with Phoebe. I just love Phoebe so much. I've looked that her arc in this film was fantastic. Go on.
No, I'm not going to give any spoilers just yet, but yeah, I can understand where, but I think the family dynamic between them, I was expecting them to have moved on a lot more than where they were still at from the last movie, because it kind of like you kind of thought the family dynamic had been closed because the distance between Phoebe and her mother had been closed with the ghost of Egon, like kind of seeing that, the kind of like getting together and like thing, but then it seemed to be in the exact same place as where they were from the last movie. So the growth wise, it kind of left us a little bit frustrated that they were still lingering over that aspect a bit more, where the tension between Phoebe and her mom, where like I think there even a few times as well, like Phoebe resents and doesn't even say if you were a like a Spengler, you would be working on the on
That
reception
was
rather than actual
she's
a
right though.
Ghostbuster. But again, it's as you said, I can understand, but for a movie as a whole, and I'll get this out of the way, it did feel very bloated. There was a lot going on where I think the option would have been if there was in the editing room, we could have got rid of probably about two or three characters or moved a few of the characters to a sequel. This could have been two movies in one with the stories that they were trying to tell, with, as you said, the young Ghostbusters want to be recognized as adults, and the older Ghostbusters not quite ready to move on yet. That was kind of like the first, like the way, not again, I was living for it, like anything to do with Dan Aykroyd being his rear, I wanted more. Bill Murray, I wanted more. But it was kind of like fighting against each other. It's like you're telling this story, but then you're telling this story at the same time, and it's like, that was again, not saying it's a bad movie or bad story, it's just
There's a
it could have been
lot.
done differently, or done it didn't have to be done at the same time. It felt very much like the new Jurassic Park movie, where it was telling two different stories of the older Jurassic Park characters and the newer Jurassic Park characters going through the different stories at the same time.
I kind of, yeah, I do see your point in a way. There's a few characters who, quite honestly, if you take them out, it wouldn't have made any difference to the story. They really need to figure out Trevor if they're going to move forward. They really need to figure out where Trevor fits in this whole place, because that poor lad is just there for their sake. I feel like it's just a name and that's it alone. And to be honest, Trevor could do so much more. But when it came down to the old and the new, I feel like the old took a back seat, and kind of, and it wasn't about them. I must say, Dan Aykroyd in this movie was fucking amazing. For a man who hasn't done much work acting wise for a while, he fucking, I says this to Anthony on the way home, like, how does he just like dip into his memories and go, right, this is Ray Stance, and I am now back to being Ray Stance again, because you're always going to need a Ray Stance. He is the knowledge guy, and this is why I love the introduction of the Paranormal Center,
Oh,
because you
100%.
all and the guy, what was his name, Jay McCaster, Lars's character, you need characters like him to progress it forward, because you know, Dan's not going to be around forever, sadly.
No.
And the way that he was talking in this movie, kind of like he wanted to tap out already. But you like, I love how knowledgeable Ray still is to this day. You can tell all he does is just sit in these little occult books and just read all day.
No, that, and I think it did need Rhea in this movie as well. And like the way they used Rhea was great. Like, I absolutely adored it. Like, I'll talk about a few of the characters I think we could have cut or would have helped with the storyline if we didn't have them in. Didn't need podcast.
Didn't need podcast.
Yeah.
And even though a lot
But
of people say Logan Kim was fucking on his A game, I was like, yes, he was quite funny when he was in it, but take him away from it, take him out of it. There is no need for him to be there.
and it
seems like
wouldn't.
a bit of a plot hole that they've just moved up to New York from. I can't remember where the last film was based,
It
but
was
their
Missouri or
families.
like a
He's
farm or
yeah,
somewhere.
he said he was
It's
at
like their
space.
families have just went, yeah, you can go. That's absolutely
Well, his
fine.
family didn't know. His family thinks he's at space camp. Because he's
Well, then
been.
Lucky as well.
Yeah, lucky that was the stupid one. Like that again, character
Yeah.
didn't played a part in the first one.
But
Didn't
did
need.
she?
Well,
Did she really play a part in the first
well,
one?
she was the love
She.
interest. She was the one that kind of because she helped Finn discover the mines, and again,
But
it's
she.
like teenage love, so I can understand that aspect. It worked well for Afterlife, but this one, she didn't need to be there, and it was kind of like, oh yeah, if you would we liked you in this one, we're gonna find you a place in this one. But going back to like the podcast element as well, because I know we'll talk about it later on, him being in this movie kind of devalued or not devalued, made us question Phoebe's motives later in the movie as well, because like I say, with her relationship with the ghost, I can't remember now, was it Melody?
Melody.
Melody.
Melody. So she befriends a ghost because she, as you said, Phoebe is a loner. Phoebe struggles making friends, but she made a friend in Afterlife with Podcast. So she's in New York, Podcast is there, and Rhea's there as well. So if she was feeling like the way she felt with her mother and feeling like alone, she would have went to them, and that would have like say give her that out instead of finding another lost soul in like quite literally in Melody. And that kind of for me was like Phoebe wouldn't have made that choice because she's no longer that lonely lost little girl that she was in Afterlife.
And I get that to a certain degree, but I feel with Phoebe, she's trying to be grown up before our time, and she doesn't feel like, because she's a teenager, that a lot of people understand her. And I kind of get the whole thing with podcast and the friendship side, because she did manage to create that friendship in Afterlife. But I just think that Melody, she felt like Melody understood her better than anyone was at the time, because at the time she had a mom, she had Mr. Gruberson, who was, on her case, and even Trevor to a degree, like kind of stopping her from doing something that she clearly is passionate about doing. And this ghost just kind of like, I don't know, maybe get reaffirmed that it's okay. So she
But
kind of like she leaned into it,
yeah,
but
I
and
think
that's
if you take the but if you take the whole podcast out of the equation, it would have made more sense because she would have had
And I
no one there.
totally agree with that, because she would have been completely isolated. But holy shit, did nobody else get chills when we actually had a ghost that was not a monster? That an actual The only time we've ever seen that, and even the Scoleri brothers in Ghostbusters 2, or the jogger in Go you know what I mean? Someone pointed out though that obviously ghosts are within the Ghostbusters universe, there are so many different styles of ghosts, and we as Ghostbusters fans just come to accept that is the norm. That is totally fine. But when we do get these ones that are real life people and they have consciousness, and Melody remembers her memories, she remembers her family, she is, she is just as the person she was when she was alive, that the realize that the Ghostbusters have been dicks to other ghosts who are actual people, the jogger who's running along. Nobody actually stood to talk to him and say, hey mate, I'll help you pass over to the other side. We'll just trap you instead. And I was in stitches when I was listening back to that. I was like, that's a fair point,
But do you
that.
think that's down to choice though as well? Because if you look back to the first Ghostbusters movie, it's kind of references a little bit. If you go back to the librarian looks normal until
Yeah,
you piss her
until she
off.
doesn't. Until she doesn't.
Yeah, until you wind up and like press the button and go. So I'm wondering as well if Melody is just that's her appearance there, but if she, you kind of
Would you turn
pushed her.
into a burnt monster.
Mm. Yeah. At least you're not crispy. I love that line.
But yeah. And again, coming back to one of my main gripes of the film, the first part of the film is the only time you really see them busting ghosts. All the way through, you have to wait till the end before they actually strap up again and see proper ghost busting. So the movie is like 2 hours long, and we don't even get a montage of ghosts that they trap or ghosts they're hunting.
That is one thing that is missing, because there's montages in the first one, montage in the second one.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you're right. There was no montage in the third one.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been quite fitting. That would have fitted in with the way things are.
Yeah. And it would have given you a more like understanding of the family dynamic when they're going through like learning how to be Ghostbusters, learning all the tricks of the trades and how they got, like, again, you don't need to know how they got to New York, but like it would be nice to see how they react to certain ghosts or what type of like entities that they've came into contact with. And it would have been, like I say, a good humor point as well, because you have to admit, these films have to be funny. They're a comedy and the jokes have to be there. But and again, I'm trying to get all the negative stuff out first, because I do want to talk about how much I like this movie. The soundtrack for this movie fucking sucked. I'm sorry.
Really?
If you go back to, like, try and think of a song that was in the movie.
A lot of the soundtrack from the first movie. Like, there would be bits playing. It would be like, oh, there's that.
But it's very lightly done. Yep. But it's like the first one, soundtrack amazing. Second one blows you away. Even Afterlife, the soundtrack was in keeping to the movie and was entertaining and like nods. I can't remember a standout song for this that I listened to yesterday, and that's really sad when it comes to Ghostbusters. That just blows you away with like music and like things that you hear, because and again, and this probably is me being the 80s guy, that's what they used to do with the 80s. Like, they used to blow the soundtrack and like hit like big hits, rather than like trying to do like mood, like change the mood or change the feeling for the film. But that again has missed the mark, because I know you put a post up yesterday saying it felt like a Ghostbusters film, and there was very much Ghostbusters elements, but these are the key things that, to me, like personally, I find would make a Ghostbusters. And it, again, you don't even have to go back to play 80s music, do modern themes. Like the song at the end of Afterlife with McKenna Crea singing the Ghost in the House or something like that. That felt like a Ghostbuster tune, even though, like I say, it was done in the credits. But yeah, again, it just felt like a bit of a missed opportunity for me.
I get you, because now you've said that, I can't think of one song that was in it, but I could name you the whole soundtrack from 1 and 2 instead. Mm-hmm. Every song from them movies are on my playlist, and you're right, I cannot think of one song from that film.
The Ghostbusters song. Ray Parker Jr. I love how they shoehorned that into the like the introduction of what the Ghostbusters have done over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Like flashbacks to the work, like the Statue of Liberty thing, and then them doing the dance with Ray Parker Jr. as if like that's not a music video for the film. That is the Ghostbusters in that universe have done that video with Ray Parker Jr.
Ray Parker Jr. is now part of the Ghostbusters lore.
Yeah.
went to Ghostbusters 2 as well, when they go to that kids' party and say, "If who are you going to call?" And they go, "He-Man." So,
Ivan Reitman. No. What's his name? What's his son called?
Jason.
Jason Reitman, the dick.
And his daughter. But yeah, like I say, them are the things that, again, could have, as I said, a film of missed opportunities. Again, use a little bit more editing, take away a few of the characters. As I said, podcast could disappear, Lucky could go away. Again, they didn't need the Fire Master, even though it was quite fun. It was very cartoony. As you said, it was very real Ghostbusters.
It was real Ghostbusters, it was an episode of the real Ghostbusters. Kamal Najari was fucking phenomenal in this movie.
I was so happy to have him there.
Me too.
Everything he's in.
I just want nothing but the best for him. I know he had like such a rough time with Marvel, like the Eternals. And I just want nothing. He just seems so genuine. And I love the fact that he took influence for his character from the real Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. And I loved him from start to finish. Everything he said and did was the comedy element you needed for this movie.
Mm-hmm. But again, to play devil's advocate to this as well, if you substituted him out and had a bit more Bill Murray, would you have been more happy or sad? Would you?
No. I think Bill Murray was just... There was no, to be fair, there's actually no reason for Pete Venkman or to be there.
Mm-hmm.
There was no reason to call him other than he just kind of stopped by and said, "You need reinforcements." And what we got from Bill Murray was more than enough for me. Mm-hmm. There's one line, and me and Anth both repeated it when we came out, because it was just pure Bill Murray, and it was just everything I needed. Mm-hmm. Was the quitting smoking line?
Yeah,
proud of you then, and proud of you now. And it was just enough Bill Murray for us to go, there, that's it. Because in my head and how I'm looking at it is, we do need to start phasing these people out.
100%, yeah.
And I feel like that was kind of like the starting point. We got it. We got a little bit of them, and that's okay. I'm really happy with what we got, but we do need to start to figure out how these don't play a part anymore.
No. And... just talking about Bill Murray for a bit, because I want to stay a little bit on Bill Murray. How much fun did he actually seem to be having? Because I know when we see Bill Murray, he's the most grumpiest, cantankerous bastard in the world. And he never says anything nice about like anything, but... And he does phone in a lot of performances, let's be honest. Like, if you watch anything he's done over the last few years, he doesn't seem to look like he enjoys making movies. But... He came alive. This, like, say, when, as soon as he, like, even in the office when he's throwing the pens at him, and that was very much the Bill Murray from Ghostbusters 1, like, going back at that aspect. And then when he come in, like, the office, he gave the old cast the energy that they were lacking.
Yeah, he riled them up, because that's what Pete Venkman does. He's I know he's the scientist, but he was never the brains.
No,
let's be honest. And there is a deleted scene in Ghostbusters 1, which is, I think all the deleted scenes are surfacing again on YouTube, and it is a case of, like, the two doctors, or the three doctors, are all getting recognised for their achievements and such, and Bill and Pete Venkman standing there going, "Well, what about me?" And he's like, "Well, you didn't do anything," and he's like, "But I'm here." Like, and that's all you need from Bill Murray's character. But he genuinely looked like he had a blast. He smiled so much throughout this movie. Even the press tour that he's been doing, Bill doesn't do press tours like at all, but he's gone on at nearly every talk show with the cast and crew and just said nothing but positives. He's been doing his own little tours where he's been talking openly about his career recently. I don't know if because his friends are gone. He lost Ivan, he's lost Harold. And I think, I don't know, I feel like maybe Bill's having a moment of like, shit.
Yeah,
maybe I need to start enjoying more things, because this is all going to come to an end soon.
Yeah,
I wish we did have a bit more Bill Murray for just one more scene in this film, and I wish there was some interaction between him and William Atherton.
What's
he called?
This man has no penis.
Walter Peck. Like, their scenes in the first one are some of the best scenes in Ghostbusters, and some of the most iconic lines, and it would have been great to get them back and have some of that rivalry back instead of just the underlying.
But not to the degree where we could have. Like, because you imagine Bill Murray putting his arm around and saying, "Hi, this is the mayor. This mayor does not have a penis."
Did you not hear the thingy when the whole crowd shouting, "You need to thank them," and then you hear someone going, "You need to thank them, Dickless."
I'll have to rewatch
if you go back and listen to the crowd, someone shouts, "You need to thank him, Dickless," and he looks around to find out who it was. So they do have a kind of, but William Atherton in this movie, I loved it, but again, no explanation. If you don't know who this guy is, how did he get to be mayor? He's an arsehole.
He almost destroyed
New York 20 years ago.
But if you not remember, they've kind of like throughout time, and they'll probably do it again. And I don't know why New York keep doing this. They tried to shut the Ghostbusters up by saying it's lies and propaganda and that they created all of this. So the likelihood is he's really good at spinning shit to be able to get himself to be mayor.
Now, this is going to cause us a lot of shit, so I'm going to say it now. Because let's look at the state of America. Who do you keep electing as president? And who looks like he has the potential of getting in a fucking again, I can fully understand someone who nearly destroyed New York getting in as president, just simply because of mayor, because of how ridiculous American politics is, but also the fact that he could probably spin it, and how religious America is as well. So they can probably spin that it's a religious faith, that it wasn't like ghosts. It's like it's a, so they could have spun anything that the Ghostbusters done, because Ghostbusters, remember, is all about science, and America doesn't believe in science because they're all That's my little bit out the way there.
Yeah, you both have compelling arguments. I take back my original statement.
but with William Atherton again, it was another non-explanated character where if you don't know who he is, that's tough shit on you. You have to go back and do your homework. There was one character though that I lost my mind over, and Anthony just didn't see it at all.
Is it the library guy?
When they're walking in the library and he comes out, and I was like, it's him. And Anth went, what? And I was like, it's him from the first one. And I couldn't do the line. So all I said was, what's that got to do with it? And he didn't get it.
Well, the thing is, though, how much balls has Ray grown through the years? Because Ray from Ghostbusters 1 wouldn't have been able to walk past him and fight his way through. That would have been Venkman's job. Ray would have like crumbled and started stuttering, but he just walked past him and just like...
Let's remember though, Ray did get, you know, possessed by Viggo. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of like, he's probably changed in so many ways because of that possession alone. I did love the lion scene, I'm not going to lie, even if it was CGI fantastic. I did enjoy it. But what I didn't, my little plot hole, how the fuck did they get that lion back so quickly?
Yeah.
Because people in America work quick, apparently. That never...
Apparently. I just reckon they have one around the back, just in case.
A fake lion.
When they were going into the library, just for that bit, he said he got banned from the library, didn't he?
Yeah.
And it's never explained why he's banned. And I like to... just my little theory in my head is, they met that library ghost in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
That library ghost is still there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they've never gone back to try and catch her. What if sometime in the past 30 years they've gone there to try and catch her and just destroyed loads of books, and the librarian's just been like, listen, leave her, get out, you're not coming back.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, there was some deep connection there with Ray and the library ghost when he was standing just looking at her, and I'm like, what have you gone through over the last few years to like
What was that ghost that gave him the BG in the first one?
No, it was not. But if it was, but I tell you, there's one character who I feel got a lot of press attention and not enough airtime. He's only in one scene, was Patton Oswalt.
Yep.
I thoroughly liked his character. I loved the explanation. I loved how they explained Garaka. Mm-hmm. And I liked all that interaction. He was just like your ultimate nerd boy. Like, I loved him. But it was one scene. And I was like, oh, that's a bit disappointing. I thought Patton was going to be the way that he's been a part of the media tours and everything, that he was a huge part of, like, they're going to be within the Ghostbusters story. Yeah. And it just, I don't know, something to me just felt a bit short with us on that one. And I'm not talking about Patton Oswalt's size.
But again, like, to talk about replacing characters, that one could have been explained away just by having Rhea doing his bit there.
Do you know who I thought was going to be?
Who?
I thought it was going to be Rick Moranis.
I think they might have wrote that in for Rick, and like say they weren't able to get him, so they've just went,
actually I read they had no interest in getting Rick Moranis back on this one.
Oh, fuck off.
Him and Sigourney Weaver. There was no reason for Sigourney Weaver to be in it, and Rick Moranis, they were like, they give up on the first one. But I was like, could they just be saying that just for, you know, just to throw us? But because I couldn't see where Patton Oswalt was actually going to fit into it. And when they said they were going to the library, because there's only, and it was the way Ray said it, there's only one man who would know. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, is Lewis Tully like working in the library now? Like, is that where? No, it wasn't. I really thought that was going to be a Lewis Tully moment, but
it's a ghost. He's coming to get you.
No, it's me fucking cat knocking shit over.
That's fine. Going back to the CGI comment that you made, because that was my biggest fear. Because I saw the first trailer, then I didn't watch anything afterwards. I've stayed away from any videos, any clips, or anything like that. But when I saw the trailer, I was like, oh shit, this is going to be so heavily CGI'd. And let's be honest, the CGI at first in the trailer looked a bit rough. I was impressed with the CGI restraint or with the usage as well, because everything that they used, like, I know people's complained about the ice. I don't know how they could have done the ice any other way, but no, looked fine. The big bad, I thought they'd done that fucking amazingly. I thought it was going to look like a cartoon monster when we saw the trailer. This was actually quite imposing.
When you got face to face with Garaka, it was incredible. Even I was, and I know Ghostbusters is well within, like, practical effects has always been its main focus, mm-hmm. but I like, and I feel like there probably is a lot of practical behind that. Mm-hmm. Like, look at Slimer, for instance.
Have you seen who did Garaka?
No.
Who? Because I couldn't find out who it was.
Ian White. Do you know Nerdfest last year? We were there. Right. It was the Predator
oh
guy.
Oh my god! The giant guy. Yeah.
That's who. Who's behind Garaka? Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that, because I've been trying to find out what I've typed in every variation through Google to see what effects were used and what was practical for Garaka, because there's definitely something behind it.
Mm-hmm. It says Ian White was the puppeteer, but I'm assuming that means like the guy in like the CGI suit.
Well, yeah, because he'd be classed as a puppeteer, you know, when he did Predator.
Right.
Alien, one of the two, he did one of them. He would be classed as a puppeteer because of the mechanics going through the suit as well. Right. Wow, that is amazing. I'm so pleased you found that out, because it was annoying us.
But yeah, the look of him, like, I thought was imposing. And again, I wish we had more of him. I wish we had the Viggo level of, like, clips with him. I know we got, like, sounds, but I just loved his fucking eyes. Them eyes were fucking amazing, and it would have been nice to see a little bit more.
Yeah. When I saw his horns in the room, mm-hmm. in the big brass room, I was like, they look like fucking spines. They don't look like horns. They look like spines. And I was like, they're definitely his horns. I didn't see it at all. And then when he went to go and get them, I was like, fuck yes. And the way that they kind of grew, it wasn't just like these are the horns that we saw on the first ever trailer, these were kind of like moving horns, and they were like so a part of them. I loved it.
No, definitely. Now, going like as you said, going through the aspects, I like, we've got a few new characters come in. One of my favorites, and I didn't expect to love him as much as I did, I love James Acaster in this movie.
Acaster.
I thought, like, because I know, I didn't know he was going to be in, but I was talking to my wife afterwards, and she listens to his podcast I've forgotten now, where they had, it was a Paul Rudd come on, and they were talking about, like, say, James being in Ghostbusters, and it was talked like he was just going to be a cameo. He's a full fucking Ghostbuster.
He's a fully fledged Ghostbuster. Yeah. I didn't recognize him at first. I don't know what's changed about his face, but I've watched him on red carpet.
He wore glasses.
The Clark Kent effect. I don't know. I've seen him on the red carpet, and I was like, I know you from somewhere, and I just couldn't. And Anth pointed it out yesterday, but I love that, if we can just talk for a second, the Paranormal Center where Lars's character is based. I love the fact that Winston has kind of gone full circle with his character. He was the guy who needed the steady paycheck. He's now the guy who has the paycheck and is now paving it forward. And there's not just the Ghostbusters in the firehouse, there's the Ghostbusters underground. And I love that. I absolutely love seeing all of the different ghosts in this one room. Even the fucking stick disc player, what do you call them, the CD players, even that was possessed by something.
Did you see them using the slime gun in the background?
Yes.
The what?
The slime gun.
The slime blower in the background.
There's elements I'm excited for it, but there's also elements I'm a little bit worried for, because as I said, I'm hoping for more. I'm hoping this does well enough that it's Sony, so they're going to be sequels because they don't give a fuck. Basically, I'm interested in staying, like, say, in New York, but with that, it gives them the scope to go bigger. So if they go international and start doing ghostbusting around the world, I think it might. Yeah, I think it, again, you might lose that Ghostbusters feel, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Potentially.
But
what I've read online is that the whole Ghost Corps thing that they've got is to build up this like worldwide franchise of different Ghostbusters around the world doing stuff.
Because that's what, because if you look at the Ghostbusters fandom, that's what it is. It's a series of people all across the world who have their own little center of Ghostbusters. And I kind of get where they're going with it. What really got me about people and reviewing this, I'm sick of hearing or seeing, well, it's not Afterlife. Well, Afterlife was better. When we saw Afterlife, and I remember when we reviewed this, we sat there and said, okay, that's all done with now. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Let's go further. Let's go and do something different. And guess what? They fucking did. And you still didn't fucking like it. There's some people you're just never going to be able to please. No. And I am certainly not one of them. I am happy for expansion. I am happy to see different aspects. I would love the idea of shit being done underground and like this like whole secret society of like Ghostbusters, like looking into different areas of paranormal activity. I'm just fucking here to watch Ghostbusters change and grow, because we cannot keep living in this 40-year pattern of what we've had. We have to grow.
No, definitely. And that's where like elements could change or move away from. Like, as you said, all the characters we don't need to see as much as. Like, fair enough. Winston can be there to pay the checks. That's fine. Ray can run the occult shop or like have his YouTube video where we're turned in to get the information.
I don't like that Ray is getting stuff from the public of like paranormal possessed stuff. And that Winston's paying him to do that. Because in the last film, Winston said that he was just like paying Ray to keep the shop open.
Yeah.
So at least this way, Ray's not just a sponge.
No.
But like, the thing is, though, Ray's like, he's so fucking intelligent and he knows his shit. Like, it was very evident throughout this whole film that he knows his shit, and you can't get rid of a Ray. No. Like very quickly. What I did love, and I did choke up a little bit during this, is watching Ray and Winston fight.
Yeah.
It brought back so many memories of Ghostbusters 2, where it was like, I'll punch your friggin' lights out, man. And I loved watching them too, because you forget, like, if you go back and watch 1 and 2, they are the closest. Like, I know that it looks like Egon and Ray are. Mm-hmm. But Winston was always there with them too.
Yeah.
And him and Ray were going off and doing parties together. Mm-hmm. And when they go down the sewers together, it's them two who butt heads because their friendship is so, you know, strong. So when them two are fighting on the stairs, I'm like, please stop it, guys. Just remember they're your friends.
Be friendly with each other. But yeah, it's a difficult one because, again, when you're talking about the tones of the movie or how, because this movie could have been cut down to say, I would say 1 hour 20, and that would have felt like quite like the flow and everything would be natural. That's why I meant earlier where it felt like two movies fighting each other, because you've got the older generation not wanting to let go. That could have been kind of like the telling of this story. That's where they like kind of handing over the reins to the new guys and realizing that they're gone, and then the new guys are fully taken over. So that crossover, there was meant to be a deleted scene that didn't make the final cut with Bill Murray and Paul Rudd. So
they're talking at the generator or something like that.
Yeah, so that's supposed to be kind of like Bill Murray handing over the reins to him aspect. So they cut that out. So that would have been interesting to see, or if it's in the director's cut or in the extras that come out later, but. Again, I'm not dissing the movie. I love the movie. Well, I really enjoyed it. It is one of the funnest movies I've seen at the cinema for a long time. It probably didn't have the emotional weight that people were expecting from Afterlife, but it had all the right nostalgia things. Like, it had the right tone. It didn't go over the top with the nostalgia as well. Like, when they're in the library, Rhea walk past and see the library ghost. That was entertaining. So that was good for me. And also for new audiences as well, because, like, as you said, Sammy, when you went in the picture, there was kids there that mm-hmm. might not have seen the first Ghostbusters.
No.
And that might have been the first experience of seeing the library ghost going, oh, look, there's a ghost. Ah, fuck. It's a nice little jump scare. Not as big a jump scare as they're going to get when they see the first one. But
yeah, it still scares Michaela.
It's still like a nice little introduction to old and new. But moving through as well, like, the final act, I was entertained. I wanted more of it, though. That's the thing. I could have done with that. That's the bit that did feel a bit rushed. But just talk about, like, probably what's going to be the shall we say, the controversial part of it as well. Because basically, the idea was a good idea, like having Phoebe using the tool, because it was like foreshadowed earlier when she asked, has it been tested by humans, like to get the spirit out? And she kind of just presumed that it would work. In essence, for that 2 minutes, she committed suicide.
Look, when it goes back on Phoebe and you see her dead body lying in that little tube, it was heartbreaking to watch.
It was horrific.
And it's like essentially if this doesn't work, Phoebe's dead. Like, in this moment right now, Phoebe is dead. I don't care how beautiful you think that ghost is on the other side. That other side is fucking horrific.
Yeah. So to have that in essence, a kid's comedy, well, not a kid's comedy, a teen comedy, shall we say, teenage suicide, because, like I said, the maid realised that Phoebe was 14. And showing that, it's either very brave or was it a risk we needed, though?
To be honest, if you took that element out of it, would have it made any difference to the story? I don't think
so.
It shows that, like, she's a teenager still and she's going to make some stupid decisions. Doesn't matter how much of a genius she is. She's still a teenager. She's got the teenage hormones of, like, oh, I really like this person. I would do anything for them. Even go in this machine and separate me soul from me body so I can spend 2 minutes with you.
Again, just to throw out this idea, would it have worked better, because you said it had to be a human voice, because they talked about possession, would it be easier if she possessed Phoebe for a little while and then spoke the words?
I mean, was it an option? I don't know.
I don't know. Probably for me, my comfort levels, I would have felt more comfortable with that, it's probably just me being old now. I probably wouldn't have felt 2 seconds of it when I was younger, but it does raise an interesting question or a taste level for me, if that makes sense.
I didn't see it like that initially, not until you've brought it up there. I just thought it was a way of showing Phoebe that what actually matters. And the fact of who she's got around her, because all the way through this film, she feels betrayed by everyone. By her mom, by a now new stepdad, and even her brother. Like, there's so much betrayal in Phoebe's head, in Phoebe's little world of this teenagery world. She's so betrayed, and she just, maybe that's her way of finding out that, oh, hang on a minute, I'm not actually alone. This isn't it's not as bad as how I've made it out to be. Because that's what we do as teenagers. It's the end of the fucking world moments.
Yeah.
And that was her end of the world moment until she comes back and realizes, oh shit, no, it's okay. I can grow up.
Yeah. No, and I liked because a lot of people online are not saying they didn't like that relationship or that storyline. I think it worked nicely and it kind of fed in. It just, as I said, if you took podcast out of it, for me, it would have had more weight to it and more understanding that she needed someone and, like, felt alone.
You're absolutely right. And I thought that when it happened, I was like, well, podcast there, you made that friend and connection. And that was really special in Afterlife, because you could tell she struggled with normal human interaction. Because she's always been, like, slightly different, and the best part about Phoebe is she's always been comfortable with how different she is.
Yeah,
she doesn't compromise for anyone. She is who she is. She was still telling fucking the best dad jokes in the opening scene, but there was just a lot of conflict with Phoebe in this one, and I was happy to see it. Like, Phoebe can't just be one note.
No.
Egon was one note. That was enough.
But it was Spengler. I was happy with Spengler. But yeah, but no, and I love that, as I said, Phoebe saves the day with her thoughts, thinking outside the box, like dipping the proton pack and coating it with brass so mm-hmm. that it affected it and actually hurt the big monster as well.
Another thing added to the lore, pretty much like vampires and silver, mm-hmm. Are all ghosts affected more by brass, or is it just...
We'll have to like, see. We'll have to get
the hierarchy
of
ghosts. We'll
have to get you in a machine, Lee. We'll have to get your soul out, and we'll have to start throwing brass at you and see if it, what effects it has.
We've got a hierarchy of ghosts now as well, haven't we? Like, yeah. We've got the like, the lower ghosts, we've got monster ghosts, people ghosts, and now gods... I don't think Viggo was really a ghost, was he? He was more like a sorcerer in a painting.
He was a deity. A god. He was. But there was one thing that Anne said with Garaka that was kind of like a bit of a plot hole was his story of being, he was the something of a king.
Yeah.
But he was a god. He worshipped a king, but at the same time was a god. And it's like, what?
It depends. Was... Because it could have been like, say, Viggo level, where he was a part human, and then again, it could have went in a bit further. But again, that's where it could be interesting. Like, it doesn't have to explain us to the ninth degree. We could have conversation now and say, was like, why did that work and how did that work in the world? So I don't mind that plot hole as much. The thing where they said that the firehouse has to stay now as it's the plug to the next world, I was like, really?
Really?
Are we using really? That one? Really? But
did anyone else scream at the screen when they kept going, the light is green?
Yeah.
And I just kept going, no, the trap is clean! I was proper screaming in and I was like, we shut the fuck up. I was like, well, they're not seeing it.
The only time I spoke through the whole film
was to say that.
No, to turn to Bex when Walter Peck showed up, just to go, that man has no dick.
I've got to say, like, this is the first time we've seen William Atherton come back since Ghostbusters 1. And, I just love seeing him again. I know he's a massive arsehole in these movies.
Nice in real life.
Oh, yeah, he's the best. But did nobody else get kind of like almost a sympathetic side for him in his first interaction with Phoebe, where he was like, and we were now going to have to bring child laws into this? You're not even paying her. And he sounded so sympathetic in his voice. And then Walter Peck came back again and it's like, oh shit, no, you're still an arsehole. Yep, you're still that. But the end scene where he confronts all of them was just,
It folded quite quickly as well, though.
But yeah, because he's mayor now. He has to. If you don't remember the mayor from the first and second, and the minute votes get put into play, they change their attitude.
Somebody get me the Ghostbusters.
Didn't it? Because you'll make us want to go and watch it. Now I haven't got time.
So, what did you think of like the introduction to the new ghosts as well? Like when we were going through the center, you saw the really fucking spooky one with the teeth. Then you had the snot monster one that just looked ridiculous.
And everyone's like, oh, isn't Puke so cute? And it's
he wasn't.
And Puke was in one scene.
Yeah.
Like, he was in maybe two with a push. I just don't see why, like, he is a big thing of these ghosts when you had this red dot who was doing Maximum Overdrive in the middle of this movie, and I was fucking living for it. I can't remember what that ghost was called, though.
Oh, it was just a sprite. Ghost, it was a possessor.
What, sorry, Lee?
I think it was just the possessor ghost.
Yeah, the possessor, that's it. I couldn't but I love the fact it was whole Maximum Overdrive and you could like possess anything that was kind of like live, like was mechanical. Oh, I loved it.
It's like a sprite or something as well. I think it was referred to as, but
again, this red dot was more like, that was so cool that I was on board with this red dot.
And were you happy that they brought back Slimer's ass as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the fact that we didn't get him in Afterlife because why would
that
Slimer
have made
be
no
there?
Sense. That would have made
no
sense.
No, it would have made no goddamn sense. That would have been fan service for fan service sake.
Yeah.
But he lives in New York and I really wish they didn't have it in the trailer. Thanks to me watching the trailer, because if not, it would have been completely ruined by the kids sitting next to us when the pile of trash was shown. He went, Daddy, Slimer's in there. And I'm like, huh? It's a good job I knew that.
Oh, it'd be drop kicking you in the throat.
Oh, bless him, man. He was so sweet.
Is this going to be leading into more of the real Ghostbusters where, like, Slimer actually lives in the firehouse and gets
Yeah, that's what that's the feeling that I was getting, and they're kind of part of the team kind of thing, because he's not gone anywhere, has he? He's been living there for a long time. But again, Slimer, practical. The statuette that, or the puppeteer that they used for it, because I don't know what, when it comes to Slimer, do they have the puppet and a statue? Because it just seems so stagnant when you look at it. There doesn't seem to be like a lot of movement. Again, the actress who does Slimer's voice was still the, I can't remember her name, I'm so sorry, but she was the person who did Slimer again. And and the fact that the little mini marshmallows came too.
They could fuck off, let's be honest.
No, they were cute as fuck, man.
It made no sense that though, that Goose has been defeated, so...
Were you really happy for Slimer when he was getting his cheese boofs? Like, aww, just the hand comes out. Yeah, and then he comes out, he's just so happy with himself, like, yes.
He was massive, though. Did you not notice that he was kind of, like, small to start with, and then he was huge, and the second time you saw him, I'm like, how much have you eaten since then? Did you, like, just when you went through Trevor, is that you just expelling all of your waste?
To be fair, though, I'm not going to lie. When I saw him like reaching his hand out for the cheese puffs, it reminded us of Hobo Lee there. I thought that's where Hobo Lee would leave, and that's how under the feed. But
Cheetos.
But yeah, again, like it kind of hinted at that Trevor and Slimer was going to have a little bit of a friendship. So hopefully that they do progress with that one and give Trevor a little bit more, because that would have given Trevor a lot more in this movie to have that like little buddy system with Slimer.
I am, like, when the first one, I just felt like, I generally felt like with Afterlife, I keep saying the first one and it's not, with Afterlife, I just felt like they're getting Finn Wolfhard is just a name.
Yeah.
We've got Finn Wolfhard. Look, we've got the Stranger Things kid. We've got the It kid. And I was like, right, okay, well, if that's going to be the case, you need to do something with him, because Trevor, again, was a spare part in Afterlife, and it felt like he was almost coming a spare part in this, even though he had a job. He was a ghost, but like he was a Ghostbuster. He was 18-year-old, as he kept pointing out all the time. But I just
think it's going to be difficult for anybody though living in Grace McKenna's shadow, because she just like
shines.
She overpowers everybody with everything throughout.
It's true.
Both these films.
It really is true. I just want to like, if we're going to have him as a regular now within the Ghostbusters universe, then put Trevor to work. Give Trevor something that is like we all know his sister is special.
Yeah.
We know that, and there's nothing going to take away from Phoebe being special, but there's no harm in allowing Trevor to have his little special moments too, because at the minute he's just coming across as, and I don't want to say ordinary, but it's so plain that it's uninteresting for us to like. I want to get behind Trevor, like I really do want this character to work, but they're not giving us a lot.
I think if like for the character to work, and again, just to like, if I was going to be like, not saying I'm a great movie writer or like storyteller and stuff like
we've tried
like I say, I mean, Nick Cage one is still the best idea, just saying, but for it to move forward, like I think again they've got to cut a few of the cast members down, like characters, move Lucky on, move Podcast on, or even have Podcast on, but just like say, have them like on the show with Ray, like if they're going thing, but we always are going to need Dan Aykroyd. We're always going to need Rhea there in some element, because he's going to be the one that kind of they go to for the knowledge. Or because the let's be honest, other than McKenna Grace, none of the people that's involved are smart enough to work out these things or get the law. So if they go, like if Rhea's books, occult books shop is always going to be there, they can then go say once they get stuck. Get some information. Ray can then lead them or point them in the direction like where to go next. That for me will work perfectly. And again, have the firehouse as the main base of operations, but then have like the bigger thing when the big bad comes in, like go to Ghostbusters HQ and stuff like that. But for me, just keep. I want to see them busting more ghosts. I know it sounds simple. Yeah. It's a Ghostbuster movie. And again, I love it when you get all the feels and you get all the like the heartfelt moments. But remember, the core audience are there to watch stupid interactions with ghosts.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And I feel like moving forward, because there's going to be more movies. It's 100% going to happen. And I know that they're potentially looking at TV shows or something like, oh no, I'm mixing two things up there, sorry. No, just more movies. Then we now need to start outlining Ghostbusters as something away from what we've had. Afterlife should have been the end point of that arc. Egon's gone now. We move on. And let's start paving a path for something that is going to be a future. And this is why the nostalgia kit has to stop within the Ghostbusters world. I love the little nods that we got. And if that's what people are going for, then there's no point in progressing this any further. Just go back and watch the first and second and because you're not gonna have a progression in your story if we have to keep going over the nostalgia aspects of the first and second and.
And I again, if you want to do nostalgia nods, I'm not going to say don't ever go back to them. Yes, have them in. Have, like I said, a Dr. P. Venkman talk show where, like, say, it's on in the background,
The world of the psychics.
or have where, like, as you said, Venkman doing an interview for people and stuff like that. But I don't, again, it sounds bad. I don't want to see the old guys suiting up anymore. That
Yeah,
has to be
could be
the last
done.
time. And
Yeah,
if and
they were just there to help out. It was numbers, wasn't it?
or again, to be a bit dark and doom gloomy, have them suit up at the start of the film and kill them. Go big.
Go big, yeah. I'm not so much like I'm not bothered about having them die or anything, but I do
But then
agree
the
that we now
Ghostbusters
need
can bust the Ghostbusters ghosts. I feel
busting
like
ghost and
they need to
ghost.
split the teams.
But do you not think that that's what they try to do here to a certain degree? Because they didn't come in until the end. It was more the fact that it was more numbers than anything else because they didn't know. This is something they've never faced before. This was, I mean, Viggo was one thing. This is something massive and more scale-wise. So they probably think in strength and numbers. And that's why I really think that Beckman just came down like, I'll just be here, like, let me in, kind of thing.
Not even just the old and the new. I feel like they need to split the new people as well,
Yeah.
which I don't know. That might be why they've brought in so many people in this film to try and start expanding it from here. Like,
Yeah,
I
and
feel
I like
like
the idea of a TV show.
Trevor and Phoebe need to be a part so that they can both shine. Like
Yeah.
Sammy said, like you're saying Finn needs
Yeah,
to have more.
he just needs more. But there's two characters who we've not talked about, and my God, did they or one of them steal every fucking scene that he was in? Is Carrie Coon and Paul Rudd. Carrie Coon was fantastic in this again as Mama Bear. Absolutely love that woman so much. But my God, Paul Rudd, everything that man said had me in stitches.
It was probably like it was very us. I know why you loved it because it was very much like watching an episode of The Office. It was just uncomfortable and like
Yeah,
cringeworthy and stuff like
it was
that.
the fact that he had to keep pointing out, especially when she's like, I'm gonna go bust some ghosts. And he starts laughing and he's like, sorry, that was really cool. Like, that is how people would like react, but and the busting makes me feel good line. I know it's
Yeah.
been what?
Bex was giving me some dodgy looks when he was like doing all that. Like, but what if there's something strange in the
The
neighborhood? Who
neighborhood.
are they gonna call? And he's like, and busting makes me feel good. When we were waiting to go in, we went and got some food first, and I was like brushing the shelf that was near us, and Bex is like, what are you doing? And I was like, it makes us happy. Dustin makes me feel good. And just making stupid little Ghostbusters jokes, like as I was going in. So when he started doing all of this, like, and Dustin makes us feel good, Bex was like, that's you. That's what it's like being with you.
Oh, bless. I feel sorry for Bex at time.
I just think Paul Rudd is just such a great expansion of the Ghostbusters now. I love the fact that he's involved in it. And I know when originally, well, God, because before Afterlife, Ghostbusters 3 was on the table for I can't count how many years. Anytime Dan Aykroyd did an interview, it was, yeah, Ghostbusters 3 is going to happen. It's definitely going to happen. And the original idea was a passing of the torch of the old Ghostbusters to new Ghostbusters, which would have been Paul Rudd, Jonah Hill, Seth Rogen, as your now core Ghostbusters. And I know it sounds terrible now, but back in like the early 2000s, like that sounded fucking unreal. Like
A
they were
stoner comedy
dominating.
Ghostbusters,
No,
though.
but they
Oh.
were dominating the comedy scene at the time of when this was all being brought about. But the only person I was ever excited for was Paul Rudd. And I'm so happy he's here. I'm so happy, like, he is the forefront of every poster now
Yes.
of the Ghostbusters.
Well, he's
Love
not,
it.
to be fair, he hasn't got much left to do now. Ant-Man's been cancelled, so
Has
the
it?
new Ant-Man film has been canned. Yes, it's been put in the
Oh.
bin. So
I
he's
think a
actually
lot of
set.
things have been put in the bin recently.
Yeah, so Eternals 2, the Captain Marvel film, like all the stuff's
I
gone in the bin.
reckon they're going back to the drawing board. I
See,
reckon they're.
Secret Wars is going to change everything, so yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going back to the drawing board. I think Marvel are going to go back to basics.
Start with the
Have
X-Men.
to.
Start with the X-Men.
Yep.
But
Start
yeah.
with the X-Men. Have to. That's for a whole other podcast.
Yes.
Isn't it amazing how we always manage to, and I don't know how we do this, get a Marvel bit in there somehow?
So, because Marvel owns the world. A lot like Iron Brew. Iron Brew. We love
Rules
Iron
the
Brew.
world.
Yes. Another
Apparently,
person
so
that
do
hasn't
I.
been mentioned throughout this
Yeah.
podcast, Janine. We get to see Janine suit up as
Yes,
well.
because she didn't, she wasn't
And
needed.
I know, but it was like a nice little nostalgic moment
Yeah.
because Janine is a big part of this, especially in the real Ghostbusters, which they've took the
That
inspiration
is
from.
true. Yes. That
And
is true. If
I don't, did you notice the thing she was wearing as well? Like
the
the
grappling,
proton gauntlet
yeah.
thing. Is
Yes.
that a call back to the 2016
I think so.
I
Thou shalt not
feel
speak of this
it is. Hey,
Ghostbusters
we I definitely have no problems with that Ghostbusters
one. I didn't
whatsoever.
mind that Ghostbusters, but it wasn't it's not the same as the other Ghostbusters. It
Which
doesn't belong in
it
the same
doesn't
universe.
No.
It doesn't no, it doesn't. It's just a hilarious comedy
Yeah.
Ghostbusters movie. I have no qualms with that. It did not take away my experiences of
Yeah.
my love of the first and second one, like everyone was saying at the time.
I feel like this might be why Patton Oswalt was in this as well. I think that and just like little things like having that proton gauntlet thing were just little nods to the 2016 one,
Yeah.
just to be like, I know people didn't look at you in a nice light, but you're
Hey,
still
you
part
still
of
had
the
some good ideas.
Ghostbusters family. Yeah.
So
Yeah,
those
we recognize you kind of thing. I like that.
Yeah.
And I did like the fact that Janine was in suit because again, I felt like I was in an episode of the real Ghostbusters. So it felt right that Janine was in her suit, but she just was not again utilized enough to where
No,
we saw
I don't.
a Janine at work.
Yeah, I think with all the characters that they wanted in this movie, that for it to work, it would either have to be like a Zack Snyder 6-hour opus, or a
Fuck
TV show,
that.
or a TV show. And again, if they want to go down that road, and as Lee put pointed out a few minutes ago, if they were going to split it, and I think it would work split, you would have almost like a Marvel kind of approach. You would have a TV show about the base of operations, like the bigger picture type thing. That would work. But then have the main movie based on the main cast and the main everyone that's involved, almost like an Avengers level of kind of ghost type thing, where the Ghostbusters can get the Samuel Jackson eyepiece on and call up all the big like big hitters from the Ghostbusters lore or the Ghostbusters like history to come and tackle that ghost. I think that might work. That would be quite a nice thing. But I wouldn't be sad if they took this away from the big screen and brought it to the small screen,
Smaller.
and had like say 8 episodes arcs, 10 episode arc, short like an hour to 40 minutes an episode. It would work. It would work really well, and you would get more depth out the characters, especially if they're going to want to use so many different characters at once. It's
Yeah.
the only way that's going to work on the big on the bigger scale.
I feel like it works. We oh, go.
I was just going to say, I'd love to see more of the Paranormal Research Center.
Yes.
Like, I think that's an amazing
I think you could.
introduction.
I think you could do a whole series just based down there. But then I started to think, would it start to end up like Agents of Shield? However, I do like the aspect of if we are going to now start moving forward and getting away from nostalgia, then yes, maybe going in more in depth into this world to establish where we are now. Because that's because we're past the whole, first and second thing now. We now need to start establishing where the team is now. This paranormal center that they have is like kind of a could like a headquarters kind of thing. And then is it are going to be other Ghostbusters branched out in other places? Also
Is there going to be
the
some in the UK?
yeah
Because,
is
I mean,
the
with
yeah
James
is
Acaster, like, he didn't put on an American accent in this, did
Nope.
No,
he?
he wasn't, no.
Thank God, because
Did he
I don't think he could do
already,
it.
so
Not
did
that,
he
not that.
already
I
research paranormal stuff in the UK before coming to the Staten
Exactly.
Island Research Centre?
No.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that, because that's what I was about to say. The paranormal center is in Staten Island, which is why a lot of the Impractical Jokers were there at the premiere of it, and they were so happy to
Oh, I
see
didn't
Staten Island
realize that.
represented.
And just another thing, just to say, what I probably could, again, not to say rip off Marvel or copy Marvel, but what could work as well, you know, when Marvel used to do the shorts, like between things, like
Yeah,
a, we used to like a
between
short,
things,
we
yeah.
used to have like a short of like Agent Carter and stuff like
Oh,
that. You
why don't
could
they do them anymore?
do like a 15-10 minute short of showing Ray's paranormal hour, like Ray's YouTube like show could like be a little short. You could have a 15-minute short of Venkman doing his thing, or like say,
Yeah.
and again, that's where you get the nostalgia hit, but it's kind of like just like little snippets or little extras for the older fans that you can do just to try and keep them happy or keep them appeased. Not saying that you have to keep everyone happy, but it might just be like a little extra thing that could this, but there's so much possibility, and I know there are probably people who's got more money and more brains than us should be thinking about these things and should be
And they probably are, you know, to be fair, they probably are. I always think that when it comes down to these type of movies, they have to wait to see what the reaction's like from the fan base. And I know this one is so torn down the middle at the moment with, but I just feel like you need to move away from the fact that this was never going to be like Afterlife. This was
And
Afterlife was something completely different. Go
I've
on then.
got some like the review scores here from Rotten Tomatoes, which
Oh, I saw
not the
this
critics
here.
scores, 'cause fuck the critics. Like, it's all grumpy old men
Here,
that
it's all
watch something
me's.
about
I
No,
know.
here, Lee.
Scientists fighting ghosts and go, well, this isn't Citizen Kane, so this is only getting 10%.
Yeah.
But the audience scores, I do pay
Yes.
attention to sometimes. So at the top, we've got Afterlife with 94%. Then second, we've got Ghostbusters 1 with 88%. And then Frozen Empire with 84%. So it's only just trailing behind the original. Ghostbusters 2 is 61% for some reason. I
I
don't
will
understand that.
never
It's
understand that.
amazing.
It's so
To be
good.
fair though, Afterlife was a lot better than Ghostbusters 2. I'll admit that.
The thing
No,
is,
and Frozen Empire. Sorry, I thought Frozen Empire was better than
oh
Ghostbusters
no,
2. But
Ghostbusters
an
2 man, fucking brilliant.
84% of audience voting that this film is good is fucking amazing.
It is.
So fuck the haters, suck my dick. Like, got
It's a
to
big
be
one,
whinging about it.
and it's a big one, guys. It's a big one.
I have never heard Lee speak like that before. But no, it's ridiculous. It is no, it is ridiculous, because I will never understand the mentality of someone going, well, it's not Afterlife. But no, it's never going to be
But
Afterlife,
that's the
because
thing,
that was
though.
its own thing.
Yeah.
Afterlife was so fucking special, and it was the closure of the fact that we had to come to terms with the fact Harold wasn't there anymore, that Egon is now gone, and it was such a special moment. Let that be the moment, and then now let's move on. That's it. That is as simple as it.
But that's the
It's
thing, though, because I
exhausting.
think a lot of people wanted this movie to fail. I think a lot of people are sitting there waiting for them.
What?
That's the thing, because
Oh, people are so cruel.
that's because people always wanted, or they did well with this one. You will get that a lot of people out there. And again, like, movies and opinions are like, say, well, like, everyone's got an arsehole, so everyone is an arsehole. But yeah, I don't know where that come from, but. But yeah, it's a difficult one, because a lot of people want to see this, like when things like people love, like, it's same with Star Wars. People sit there and wait to see how shit a Star Wars thing is. It's
Yeah,
like,
and then this at the minute it comes on, Kathleen Kennedy is the worst person ever in the fucking world to be created. Because my God, you know, Star Wars.
yeah.
Don't get us started on that fandom, because I won't fucking stop.
But as a whole, like, say, moving back to, like, say, the Frozen Empire, I love the big bad. I thought it was great. I thought everything about him was entertaining. I just wanted more. Like, say, as I said, a few tweaks here, couldn't, like, someone doing the job at editing probably would have been better, rather than pandering to either the studio or the directors. I'll be honest, given, like, some people like at times less is more. I know a lot of fans say keep giving us more, but no,
strip it back. Let's strip back. Let's start like seeing where things can go that doesn't include the old cast. Lee, did you have got a name for the director? Because I can't remember who it was. It's a writing duo of Jason Reitman and this guy, mm-hmm. and Jason and him wrote the first one,
mm-hmm.
and Jason directed the first. Well, Jason directed Afterlife. Sorry, I keep calling it the first one. My apologies.
It's fine. It's the first one of the new ones. It's okay. You'll never do it.
So, I don't want to get Gil wrong Keenan. For people. Gil Keenan. So them two were a partnership, and they agreed that Jason would be able to direct the first one because that meant so much to him and his family that he would go on and direct the second one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of, and so hopefully if they're keeping to this pattern, the next one would be Jason Reitman, if that's how they're doing it. Mm-hmm. If they're going, you take this one, I'm going to take that one, you take this one.
But I think again, because remember, if I sorry to harp on about Afterlife, the pleasures or the look, can you say look, the misfortune, shall we say, of when that was released initially, they got an extra year and a half because the pandemic
they
hit.
Did.
So
they
got a fine tune and clean it up and take elements out. If that had the same kind of luxury or the same situation with this one, mm-hmm. potentially we would be singing a different tune, or because it probably was a situation where it needed a few more eyes over it, a few more, like, say, run times, or saying, does this character work or does that character work? But in all, if that's the story that they wanted to tell, I'm not disappointed that we got that. I'm very happy. Let's get the ratings, though. So we'll go with Lee first.
Did you see the after credits thing as well, though?
Yeah, it was shite. I'm going to be honest, it was pointless.
Now, I still don't understand the Stay Puffs, because they're like remnants of the destroyer of Zool.
Goza.
But like, Zool and Vince Clortho both disappeared when Goza left, so mm-hmm. how are the Stay Puffs still around?
That's why I was saying movie magic.
I think it's just for mascot sales, really, because people will buy little.
I think that's why people are going silly over this puke character, because again, it's a little thing that'll sell, just like what the marshmallows did. Mm. Whereas I have that thing has no significance whatsoever in that movie experience.
I feel like I've complained a lot, so I do apologize. One of my biggest bugbears, and I'm pissed off, and again, if the movie producers or anyone to do with the film's watching, he's a dicks. Where's the fucking toys? There's no fucking toys yet. I want my toys.
Last question I've got is, from Afterlife, it seemed like there was going to be something about this coin that Egon gives to Janine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he said it was like a coin from like the 1957 World Fair.
It's like,
this is very important, hold on to it. And then we don't get the anything coins in this film about it.
It still could come back.
There's a lot of different elements or different things that I hope we do get.
Well, the thing is, that is a deleted scene.
Mm-hmm.
What we see there is a deleted scene, and that is an after post credit scene too. So maybe that is something that will come into play later on. And it's like, have you been paying attention to these little snippets that we've been putting in? So, because you've stumped us with that one. I totally forgot all about it, but I do know that they are deleted scenes, end credit scenes. So maybe, mm-hmm. maybe somewhere down the line, yeah. Who knows? Or maybe it's just a meh, who gives a shit?
Oh, it could be where they put in the coin and then it opens up this whole thing that Aegon built, like on a world fair or like a thing, again, just open up the lore. But again, just to say about the Stay Puffs, it could be that Goza's not really gone, she's just been closed off, so she can make a return.
They send Goza back to the other dimension, don't they?
Yeah.
But in this one, Goza's in like about 1,000 different ghost traps, so that could potentially explain it, I suppose.
Mm.
And also, I do believe Goza will come back. The destroyer will come back in some way or another. There'll be some fucking crazy nut out there, just like Shandor, who'll want the destroyer back. So I don't think that's the last we'll ever see of them.
And I hope we do get like some of the older cast. Like, I know people saying leave Viggo alone. Probably not in the next movie, but I would like to see.
Some reference to Viggo would be nice. There's the painting. I really wish.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. I was like looking around in case the painting was in that research laboratory.
Yeah, that would have been so fucking cool. Just the painting alone. But the painting turned out to be. He disappeared in the painting, and the painting became the Ghostbusters with Oscar in the middle. So maybe that painting is the one that we're looking out for, not the Viggo one, because that wouldn't exist anymore.
No.
But also, where the fuck's Oscar?
I was just about to say that when you said that. I was like, shit, where the hell's he?
Where's the baby?
Maybe he's the one that's causing it all. He's going to be the big bad in the Ghostbuster realm.
There's so much that can be explored that can still hit your little nostalgia points, but obviously, like, just tiny little bits. We don't have to have a whole fucking, oh, look at that reference. Oh, look at that reference. It's just, let's expand. Mm. Let's
grow.
Start anew. Yes, let's grow. Grow. Mm. Such a good word.
But yes. So, out of 5, Lee, what are you rating it?
Oh, 4.5.
Okay, that's high.
Mine's a scene.
To be fair, though, Lee, that's the first time Lee hasn't given someone a 5-star, so...
But no. It does have some room for improvement, mainly what you said about there should have been some more ghost hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the same, 4.5. Like, I love this movie because I am really biased when it comes to this. You could literally put Bill Murray on screen... Just Bill Murray alone in a flight suit for 2 hours, and I'm going to fucking love the shit out of it. Mm-hmm. Anything to do with Ghostbusters, I'm going to love. Mm-hmm. But I also can look at it from, like, kind of a storytelling aspect. And I love this story. Mm-hmm. I love these characters. I want more. I want to move away from the past. I want to start going, which is... What are you doing with that terror dog?
He's trying to possess you. He's asking if you're the key master.
Are you the key master? No.
Sorry, I was just being annoying.
Well, I've got my mate here. Me and my little buddies here.
Slimer. I was expecting to see...
I carried him around with his like a fucking Ben when I got him because I didn't have any room in my bag, so I had to keep holding his hand as I was walking around with him. I love the fact that I've got him back. But I also have him on card as well. I have them twice.
So are we showing off our Ghostbusters stuff now, shall we?
I got that as well. My extra one's like right next to us too, but I'm not picking that up because...
I'll tell you, I'm not going to pick up the firehouse. It's got a Millennium Falcon on top of it.
I've got two. I've got one. Did I get one of you?
You got a Playmobil one, I think.
No, I've got this one too. Oh, no, yeah. I've got these two little ones. Mm-hmm. Two little ones. Yeah, I got them off you. I got the Playmobil one, and my husband bought me one. Oh, just dropped a ghost. What's that? Oh my god, when did you get that?
Ah, god.
Someone get that off Aiden?
No, someone was posted on the Facebook, no, the Facebook group, selling it for, I think, 15 quid.
No, oh, see, this is what happens when we've got so many toys. We're like, look at all the toys!
I've got the Lego Ecto 1 right here. Yeah. But, oh, most importantly, I've got this. My badge that I got, just to rub it in again, just a little bit more.
I'm gonna secretly message Bex tonight and say, Bex, can you steal the badge?
You do know that you're back on with us later on tonight.
I know.
Yes. talking about, so I'll give my rating. I'll probably say a 3.5. I'm not saying it was a bad movie. I enjoyed it. Like I say, I know I probably looked at it a bit more critical because I expected more. It had the bones of a brilliant movie, and that's where I think I got pissed off at a little bit when I thought about it yesterday. Don't get us wrong, I sat and enjoyed and smiled all the way through, and that, like, say, is a good movie. Mm-hmm. It's just there was elements where you watch it if you're going to look at it like what we do as fans, and as you're going to talk about it like constructively as well.
Yeah,
there
was
elements I thought, you know what, this could have been better than anything that we've had before. It had the cast, it had the ingredients, it just went. Mm-hmm. And I hate to use the word bloated, but that's what it felt like at times. It was just like, to the degree where I was like, oh, just peer back, just have a bit more patience.
When we came out of the cinema, and was like, oh, how do you feel? And I was like, I fucking loved it. Mm. I genuinely don't know where Paul's going to sit with this one. Mm-hmm. Like, I really didn't. I couldn't call if you were going to love it or not. And I was like, I'm just going to have to, because I says he's not going to talk to us about it. I know fine well he's not going to talk to us about it, because if I remember the last one, we were like, no talking.
Yes.
So I was like, I'm going to have to wait until tomorrow. But I could not place where you would have been with this movie.
I think it would be, I think anyone who says it's a bad movie are being very unkind.
Yeah.
I think you can't call it a bad movie. You can say you can be disappointed or it wasn't for you, but it had all the right notes. It had action, it had comedy, it had people that you could care about. It had the and again, a lot of people say or went too hard with the nostalgia. I don't think it did. I think it could have pushed it a little bit harder at times. Just not in like the old Ghostbusters, but more the ghost side. I would have liked to see a few of the ghosts from the real Ghostbusters or a few of the ghosts from the toys.
If we go down that route, though, of toy Ghostbusters and real Ghostbusters, I am living. Lee, you look like you're ready. You're looking so cheeky. What is going on?
I've missed one of my notes. How excited that I wrote down. And it's like the poor guy that had the bad business decision of naming his shop what he named it, Firemaster and Vape Shop. Oh. Are you the Firemaster?
No.
A poor guy.
Well, it didn't end well for him though, no. The elements, as I said, that elements was great. We needed more elements like that in this movie. But again, because we had not to compare it to Afterlife, we had some toy ghosts in there. We had the eye popping out of the head ghost.
Yeah.
So I probably wanted to see a few more of them, and especially they had the opportunity when like the containment unit exploded and all the ghosts were released. You had like the opportunity to show a few things, and just because it wouldn't have been in your face or been too over the top, it would have been, like I say, a nice little nod, and you would have been, again, like a Ready Player One moment where you're going through and rewatching again to try and spot the different things. So again,
I totally agree. They've just announced that they've started pre-production on Ready Player Two.
Yeah. If it's anything like the book, it's going to be interesting because the book got panned.
I got that as a free copy in a loot crate box one month.
I think Empire magazine gave it away as a freebie as well. That's how well that book sold. But 3.5 now. Again, cool. Thank you guys who's watched. I'm sorry if we have give you too many spoilers. I would highly recommend go and watch this movie. Just go in with an open mind and just like say, don't have the expectations that you might that it's going to rock your world. It's going to be a fun film, and that's just what you want. It tells a good story, and it's enjoyable. But yes,
go to the cinema and have fun.
Just didn't buy any of the green shit. It's horrible.
If they offer you green drink, just say no.
Just say no, because you'll end up like you'll end up like Lee, a hobo in a chair.
And we don't need that. No more Lees.
No more Lees in this world. So that was our midday special. So again, we didn't have this planned. It was a nice thing we thought would jump on, because with others seeing it, we thought, fuck it, we'll talk about it, because everyone in the world seems to be talking about it. And again, I know I had me rant at the start, but I am really pissed off with how the fan communities are reacting and acting like the so self-entitled little pricks they are.
They really are, but this is where we can kind of go, do you know what? Look what we've done. Look what we have built within the Nerdy Up North community as an actual community of Iron Brew is, I still don't get this, but we are a non-toxic environment. We welcome all fandoms. We don't have gatekeeping. You can all go fuck yourselves if you do, because I can't be fucked. Yeah. I say the disclaimer for a fucking reason. That reason is to keep people out who want to just come in and destroy fandoms. Well, no, you're not doing it.
But yes,
I'll fight yous. All yous.
So that was, I was only expecting us to talk for an hour. We've went on a bit longer than I thought.
Lee's been on and he had notes, man. You kind of like...
Yes, I hope he's got notes for tonight, because that was a fucking movie and a half we're talking
about
tonight.
Wait until I give you the taglines. Oh my good God, you are going to be in for a treat.
So yes, we'll be back in a little over, what time is it now? 3:30. So
fucking hell, yeah.
We'll be back
four hours.
We'll be joined by the nerd prince himself, Nerdy Jesus, that is Jake.
Nerdy Jesus.
So yes, so anyone who's checked us out today, thank you. Join us at 7:30. We'll be talking shit again about a movie. Super Mario Brothers. For what?
It was definitely a movie, and it's going to be a great chat. We're going to bring nothing but positivity and happiness.
I'm just going to put a cardboard cutout of me just saying, yes, I seen this movie. But yeah. So yes, join us tonight. We'll give all the plugs for later on as well. So yes. this will be on audio as well. So if you're an audio listener, thank you. You missed us showing off our toys.
Okay, that's true.
So same bat time, same bat channel.
Stay nerdy, everyone. Until later. Bye.
Bye, nerdy Lee.
Bye.